Cape Talk.
The music feature.
Time for us to start heading into the weekend with some great music, and we have a double header for you today. We're first going to touch base with an Idols finalist, and then we'll be chatting to a local musical hero of sorts, the classical crossover band Sterling EQ, celebrating a decade in the industry. We'll catch up with their news in just a little while. First though, if you are an Idols fan, you know that the grand finale lies ahead this weekend, and you know that the hopes of Cape Town rest on the very young shoulders of Paxton Phyllis of Bishop Lavis. She's only 16 years old, the youngest contestant on Idols this season, and she has blitzed her way through to the final round, where she takes on her fellow competitor Ntokozisi Ndaba in the final on Sunday. It is an absolute delight to have Paxton on the line with us now. I hope the nerves aren't too bad, Paxton. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. No, it's not that bad, because I know that, you know, the line's closed last night. There's not much I can do.
So it's out of your hands now. All you can do is enjoy the show on Sunday. You've come an awfully long way, Paxton. You were a grade 11 pupil from Bishop Lavis. When did you start singing?
I started singing at the age of 7.
Okay, and who was it who encouraged you to follow a passion for music?
Well, I have a musical family, mm-hmm. but the person who encouraged me to audition for the competition is my mom.
Okay, and she obviously believed that you had a talent that was worth showing off. Paxton, so did the judges. I believe you were the first person to receive a golden ticket during the auditions here in Cape Town. How did that feel?
Amazing. I honestly didn't expect it.
And talk to us about what the experience has been like for you, because you're very young to be facing that kind of pressure week after week, to put yourself out there on stage, to have to wait for public input and be so exposed. What has it been like for you?
Excuse me?
What has the Idols experience been like for you, Paxton? Has it been nerve-wracking? Have you felt uncomfortable ever on stage, or have you really enjoyed it?
I think it's been a growing experience. Like, I've grown so much as a person and as an artist, you know. And I think that's very, very, very important, because I always tell my mom that I'm committed to bettering myself every day. And this platform helps me better myself as an artist.
Now, I know you have ambitions for a career in the music industry, regardless of what happens in the finale on Idols. In fact, you've already released your first single, haven't you?
Yeah, I was so excited, you know. And the video is being released on Sunday.
The video is out on Sunday as well. Where do we go to take a look at the video, Paxton?
That information has not been... I don't know yet, but I think on the Mzansi Magic website, okay. You can find all that information.
Okay, we'll do that. So how are you feeling about the show on Sunday? What can we expect to hear from you?
Well, all I can say is expect to see a great show. There's going to be so much great artists and group. The top 10 is performing again as a group, and that's going to be really, really amazing.
What has it been like for you in terms of the friendships that you've made? As the top 10, are you all close friends, or is it a bit more cutthroat because you are, at the end of the day, competing against each other?
No, I would say we all have a very good relationship. And we're all really close. We understand each other. You know, it's a bit difficult. 16 different personalities coming into one house, you know. So I think we've all just learned from each other as well.
That's fantastic to hear. Now, Paxton, you've got the hopes of Cape Town on your shoulders. We know we can't do anything more in terms of voting for you, but the one thing that has happened in the past week is I know our colleagues from KFM phoned you to share the news with you that you've been added to the lineup for their big K-Day celebration next year.
Yeah.
What is that like for you to know that you're going to be on a stage in front of thousands of screaming Cape Town fans?
That is amazing, and I also feel like it's my way of giving back and saying thank you for all the support that I've been receiving.
Well, Paxton, our thoughts and our wishes are with you for the finale on Sunday. We really hope it is a wonderful experience for you, regardless of the outcome, and we want to wish you well on your musical journey, whatever happens in Idols. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Paxton Phyllis, the youngest contestant in Idols this year, and she's made it all the way to the final episode, which will screen this Sunday on Mzansi Magic, which is channel 161 on the DSTV bouquet. The show starts at 5 o'clock on Sunday, and we thought we'd give you a snippet in case you haven't caught it before and haven't heard the lovely voice on this young lady. This is a snippet of her singing last week, her take on Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Somewhere.
Troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That's where
that's a voice worth voting for. And Anonymous on the WhatsApp simply says, keep Cape Town's name high. The Voice, SA's Got Talent, and now Idols, you go girl. That's a big voice for a very small little girl. But wow, dynamite comes in small packages, doesn't it? So good luck to Paxton Phillies on the final this Sunday. 5 o'clock in the afternoon is when you want to tune in to DSTV channel 161. It's on Mzansi Magic. And I think she's been added to the lineup for the opening of the Christmas lights, if I'm not mistaken, as well as K-Day. So you'll have a couple of opportunities to see her in action here in Cape Town. Well, from a brand new artist at the very start of her career to two seasoned performers who've been around celebrating 10 years in the business now, it's delightful to have in studio with us two of the ladies from Sterling EQ, Karina Brewer and Ariella Kyra. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you so much.
And I know we've spoken over the years many times, particularly to Karina when she's been swimming through shark-infested waters raising money for various causes. But it's great to have with us in the musical sense today. 10 years is a long time, and it's been a stellar career. Won't you take us back to the early days of Sterling EQ and how it all started?
Oh, geez. Well, those early years feel literally like yesterday. We started in 2007, and it was really just to put together a group of interesting classical crossover performers which would perform at mostly corporate and private events, because there was quite a demand for that. And inspired by something like Vanessa May and the group Bond, you know, we went all the way and got the electric instruments and cool clothes and cool tracks. And it really just evolved so quickly. Our audiences and guests at the events that we performed at would ask, you know, where can we get your album and when are you performing live? And we realized there was really just a wider demand for this very interesting sounding instrumental music. So in 2008, we recorded and released our first album, Nova. And, you know, we did quite an extensive job. We did a very, very cool music video and the whole sort of promo package. And it just kind of exploded from there. 2011, we did a live DVD, which then went on to win a SAMA award.
Yep.
We did a little Sterling Spiel Afrikaans, so a little collection of Afrikaans song, but in an instrumental way, which was also unique at the time. And then Pulse with EMI in 2013. Yeah.
Okay.
12. Yeah. And where are we now? 2017. And we decided to celebrate this sort of landmark with another album, 10 Years of Sterling EQ.
Okay.
And that's where we are now, and is believe
that,
it or not.
Is that on shelves already, or is it still coming?
It is just getting on, yeah.
Just hot off the press.
Okay,
exactly.
So we caught you at
it a
the
couple
right
of
time.
Weeks ago, and music is placing it. And,
okay, fantastic. Yeah. Now, I mean, we talk about the instruments for the sake of those who might not have ever had the chance of seeing you before, and we will play you some of their music, of course, in just a moment. But the instruments in question are a flute in your case, Karina. Mm. You're on cello, Ariella.
Right, yeah.
And then the missing person today is your violinist, Luca. Were you all classically trained and heading in the direction of a career with those instruments at the start of this journey, Ariella?
Well, yes, we are all classically trained. We'd all gone through the whole gamut of classical training as kids growing up. We were very lucky to be able to have that exposure to classical training, because I think that's at the heart of what we do. We've got good, just technical ability, which means that we can sort of tackle any genre. We're not sort of stuck on one sort of genre. And So the other girls went on to study music. I didn't. I studied something else and got back into it actually because of the band. They were looking for someone to sort of be their permanent electric cellist, and I thought that sounded like a lie. I'd studied acting, so this was like a great opportunity to fuse my two loves of performing stage-wise and music and to do this thing. So, yeah, classical training is infused in what we do, but like I say, we there's all sorts of stuff that we play, jazz and pop and tango and you name it, it's there.
They always say you need an intricate understanding of the rules before you can throw them away.
Yeah, you do really throw them away though. I mean, you've played in some pretty strange and unusual places and formats over the years. I mean, correct. What stands out for you as some of the most memorable performances?
I think a strange format would have been having to scale a dune in the middle of Namibia
and play. Oh my gosh,
with Johnny Clegg.
We were also like hypothermic at the time.
It was bizarre. We arrive for sound check and we see this lovely stage there. So we climb onto the stage and the technician says, No, you're going up there. I said, up where? He points up to this like mountain in the distance and we had to climb up there with our instruments and all beautifully lit on this. Yeah, that was something.
I'm not surprised the cellist is complaining about that one in particular, I have to say.
The flute always just kind of goes the highest. Make up for everyone else. But yeah, we've been all over and I think our international travels are really, you know, the ones that stand out. Obviously we've been all over South Africa and been playing at amazing events here and concerts, but you know, like playing the Mumbai theme in India.
Oh wow.
You know, looking at the New Delhi audience just resonate with the song that is from where they are but brought to them by an African group. It's quite special. Italy was beautiful. Turkey. Yeah, no, we just have so many amazing memories and it's just been a blessing. That's why I say 10 years have just flown by.
The format of the actual makeup of the group itself has changed somewhat over those years, because the three of you now, have you all been there for the whole journey or have some come and gone at other times?
Ariella and I have been there for most of the time. Yep. We were a quartet to start with, hence the EQ, electric quartet.
Yes.
But halfway down the line, we decided to become a trio. The violinists were sort of chopping and changing a little bit, and we found Luca, who's pretty much two violinists in one. Okay. So the violinists have come and gone, but we've very much settled now with Luca. We've been together as the three of us for about four years. We don't really see that changing at all. We're in a healthy place where we all do different things, and you know, when we come together for Sterling, it's just a celebration, and we just enjoy doing it so much, and we just appreciate all opportunities now, ironically, because we, you know, in the beginning you almost more arrogant about it and you go, well, you know, we're so cool, look at what we're doing, and we're just climbing, and now that we've done that climb, we look back and just go, wow, that's pretty cool, thank you, and we're just happy to still be here
in a great space. Somebody's asking me on the email whether it takes special training to learn to adapt to the electrical instruments or whether it's pretty much the same as picking up and playing a standard cello. Ariella?
Well, yeah, with the flute, I can't speak for the flute, but Karina is playing a regular flute when she sort of mics it up,
okay,
using a lapel mic or other sort of tricks of the trade. But the electric violin and cello are a lot heavier, ironically, than the acoustic versions, because they have that whole built-in sort of techno part, which is, you know, where you plug all the bits and pieces into it. So it is heavier, and obviously playing the cello, one normally does that sitting down, but for stage purposes, it's much more dramatic if you do it in high heels.
Yeah.
So standing up. So that's an enormous challenge. Physically, I've been, it's made me stronger in ways I couldn't imagine. I have this rather large left bicep as a result. It's just a strange adaptation, I suppose. But it is technically very demanding, and not least of all, lugging the equipment around as well. And we've got transmitters and things that we need to carry around with us as well. So there's a whole technical aspect as well, which, is something that the Bach and Beethoven can't quite teach you.
Yeah. And as a result, do you have to have a whole technical crew that moves around with you, or do you manage most of that yourself?
Well, when we do a performance, we are assigned to, there's a technical crew who will be assigned to us, and we'll send them all the information that they need about what we're playing and the kind of technical stuff that we have, and to make sure that it's compatible with theirs. And then during a sound check, we'll iron out all of the problems. They're always sort of gremlins that live inside these technical equipment bits and pieces. So yeah, that's what a sound check is for. And then you try and make yourself sound as beautiful as possible. And that's what's so lovely about the electric violin and cello and flute, is that you can add so much quality to those instruments, and you're not sort of trapped by the space that you're in. You know, if you're in a hall, for example, and you're playing an acoustic instrument, you've got the lovely reverberant sound, but as soon as you put that outdoors, all of that reverberance is lost. Mm-hmm. But now you can be in an outdoor venue but have an amazing reverb and beautiful echo and delay on your instrument and sound enormous and powerful. And so you can reach a much wider audience and, yeah, just adapt it to what you need for each specific song.
Well, with that, we've got to give our listeners a taste of the sound we're talking about. We're going to play out the show with a track called Asturias. Karina, why don't you tell us a bit about it?
Yes, it was written in the early 20th century.
That sounds right.
Yes. So it's actually a guitar piece, classical Spanish guitar. Very well known. I'm sure your listeners will recognize it. But we have decided to make it our own. We're inspired by music from across the world and music from across the spectrum of other instruments and voices. And this one just really, really resonated with us for the Spanish vibe, but also just for its technical challenge. And I think you'll hear what I'm talking about.
Without further ado, this is Sterling EQ. Here's to the next 10 years, ladies.
Thanks. Thank you.